I called this message The Responsibility of Freedom. Most of us here and watching perhaps were born as American citizens. We've got folks that join us from other countries online and things, but most of us here were born as free citizens in America. That was not the case 250 years ago or so, since we were born as subjects of Britain and the king there, and we fought a war to secure that freedom for us and freedom we could enjoy. It was not the case for many 160 years ago or so. A great war was fought to emancipate slaves in this country. And freedom was declared by a Declaration of Independence or by the Emancipation Proclamation. Freedom was declared, but freedom still had to be won and it had to be maintained. People still had to fight to enjoy the full blessings of those freedoms. The American Civil Rights Movement was about fighting so that freedoms that were secured by law could be lived out and enjoyed and experienced by everyone everywhere in this nation. So freedom may be won for us, but we have a responsibility to maintain it so we can enjoy the blessings of freedom. It involves sacrifice and effort and intentionality and discipline. John Adams, our second president, he was twice the vice president, and he helped draft the Declaration of Independence. He wrote this: "I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will cost us to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory. I can see that the end is more than worth all the means." And Adams and the founding fathers of this nation understood that liberty and freedom could be declared by law. The Constitutional Congress or whatever. So they could declare this, but experiencing, gaining that freedom and living in the blessings of liberty was going to require discipline and effort and sacrifice. And as American citizens, we would do well to remember the responsibility of freedom, that we have a responsibility to maintain that freedom. We have a responsibility to vote and to speak out and to protest and to make good trouble, as John Lewis said, and to exercise our rights. We also have a responsibility to share the blessings and the fruits of freedom and democracy with those who live without it, and we try to do that. So freedom requires something of us as citizens of this country. We have a responsibility to freedom, but we are also citizens of a heavenly kingdom. And freedom was won for us at Calvary, but something is required of us in the sense of our spiritual freedom as well. Pastor McQueen used to say, "With great blessing comes great responsibility." And Jesus said, "To whom much is given, much is required." Freedom has been given to us, but something's required. We have a responsibility to maintain that freedom, to not surrender it and return to slavery. Something is required of us. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 5, "It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and don't be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Stand firm. Paul's not suggesting that we're saved by our efforts in addition to grace. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. Remember what Paul writes in Titus 3, he saved us not on the basis of righteous deeds we had done or deeds we had done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. But Jesus has set us free from the burden of sin and its shackles, and he calls us to live in that freedom and never let anyone enslave us again. Not ourselves by our own poor, stupid choices, or not the devil, or not anyone else. We have a responsibility to stand in freedom that Jesus won for us. Eugene Peterson's Message paraphrase reads this way: "Christ has set us free to live a free life, so take your stand and never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you." He saved you so you could be free, right? Christ has set us free. He saved you in order that you could be free. He saved you so you could find a new life and a new purpose in him, so you could live this victorious life that he created you to live out from under sin's dominion and sin's control. Stand firm then, Paul says, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. He sets us free so we can continue to live a free life. Can you say amen to that this morning? Well, this is what I've come to tell you on this 4th of July weekend. Jesus set you free from sin set you free from a lifestyle of sin, perhaps, set you free from addictions in your life. He's given you freedom, so now, set free, you can make right choices, redeemed choices, good choices. You can live and walk in freedom. So hear Paul say it again. So stand firm in that and don't go back to bondage. You've come through this. Don't go back to slavery, to sin. He set you free from addiction. Don't go back to it again. He set you free from sin. Don't go back there again. Make those good choices. Stand firm in his freedom and accept that responsibility to freedom that you have. Look at this. Paul said, I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. One translation says, for which I was apprehended. Jesus found you. He chased you and caught you, if you want to look at it that way. He acquired you. He took hold of you for a reason. He bought you. He redeemed you. Think of yourself as an athlete. Let's say you're a football player or whatever, soccer player, you name it. And you had some problems and you end up messing up and you get banned from the league, all right? And then the owner of your dream team acquires you. And he pays $20 million, to you, and he takes care of the league problems. He pays off your gambling debt or whatever it was. He fixes things so your debt is paid, and now you can play for your dream team. And he says to you, I acquired you. I paid the price for you, and now you are free to play. You're free to play at your full potential. Well, guess what? That owner expects you to stay free. He paid $20 million for you, all right, for this year. He expects you not to blow that $20 million on cocaine or drugs or whatever kind of carousing and foolishness you were doing that got you in trouble in the first place. He expects you, you're free now, you're starting over. You got a new contract and a new page. He expects you to play ball and live out your purpose, the reason for which you were acquired. Paul says, I'm pressing on to take hold of that for which Christ acquired me. He took hold of me and saved me. I'm pressing on to live in freedom because Jesus got me and acquired me for freedom. He wants me to walk in freedom. He saved you by his grace, his sacrifice. He settled your debts, and he wants you to live out your purpose. He sacrificed his life and saved you so you could live free and you could be all that he called you to be. So he expects you to stand firm. He expects you not to go back to slavery. Refuse to go back to living an old way of life. Don't go back to sinful thinking and sinful choices. Refuse that. Listen, that's slave thinking. He wants you to think like a free person that's been redeemed and set free from sin and bondage. Stand firm and stand free. It's the responsibility of freedom. Just listen again to what I'm telling you this morning. Jesus gave his life to set you free. He liberated you from so much. He set you free for a greater life, a higher purpose, a greater calling. He intends for you to be more than you were. He intends for us to be more than we are right now. He set us free from sin and its condemnation, and he's made us his very own. We're his sons and his daughters, and he wants us to live like we are children of the Most High God. He intends for us to live free, not free to live any old way you want, but free to live as that new creation in Christ, a new person in Christ, free not to indulge our flesh and to just live in sin, but free to live and choose to do what's right and what pleases God, to live without being haunted and hounded by condemnation and guilt and shame and fear, free to live with a clear, clean conscience, free to live knowing your sin are forgiven, free to know that you're going to go to heaven one of these days. It was for this kind of freedom that Christ set us free. Don't let Satan lure you back in to bondage. Don't let him put shackles back on you when Jesus has set you free. You've come too far to be shackled again to slavery and sin. It's your responsibility to stand in that freedom. I suddenly thought, some of you may remember, we were at VBI during our exile after the tornado, and Cliff Morrison helped me out. We did a sermon about freedom and bondage, and he brought shackles so that you're your ankles are shackled, and then it comes up, and then your hands are shackled. It's like coming around your waist. And so all you can do is walk like this. And we had some guys walk around. I had a couple of guys say, you know, that kind of creeped me out. It was like just getting kind of claustrophobic, like, get these things off of me. You're shackled. Why in the world, Jesus set you free from that. Why in the world are you going back to that? Why do you want to go back to that kind of life? He set you free. Stand in that freedom. We got to hurry this morning, but it's our responsibility. Paul writes in Galatians 5:13, for you were called to freedom, but don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. What does he mean by an opportunity for the flesh? Flesh is referring to our sinful desires, that part of us that still wants to live outside of God's will and live apart from God's plan and purpose and design for our lives. Jesus set us free and calls us to freedom to live by obeying him and his word. Again, he didn't set you free so you could engage in sin. He freed us so we could live in victory over sin, that we could truly walk with him. So Paul mentioned some of those desires of the flesh in Galatians 5, those things that war against God's will. He said, the deeds of the flesh are evident. This is not an exhaustive list, but Paul mentioned some things. He says, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, he says, of which I forewarn you, those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Notice the first three have to do with sexual sin, immorality, impurity, sensuality. They're referring to both behavior, actions, and thoughts. So immorality is any kind of sexual sin, any sexual activity outside of the God-ordained marriage covenant between a husband and a wife. All right, it's just that simple. Anything outside of the sexual union between a husband and a wife is considered immorality by Scripture. There's all kinds of terms, fornication or lasciviousness or whatever. Impurity is referring to impure thoughts. Sensuality refers to what the Living Translation calls eagerness for lustful pleasure. It's easy to be drawn back to sexual immorality. What, you know, who cares? Everybody sleeps around, right? Everybody has sex or whatever. And so we fall back into that. That's the desires of the flesh. And Paul says those desires war against the purity that the Holy Spirit calls us to live a pure life. Jesus has set us free so we can live free from immorality even in our thought life. And then Paul mentions idolatry and sorcery, spiritism and witchcraft. And he says, we've been set free from sin and idolatry so we can serve the living God. We're to have nothing to do with demonic forces or sources or spirits, consulting fortune tellers or psychics or any of that stuff. Instead, we're to serve the Lord and turn to him. And then Paul mentions areas of the sinful nature that affect our relationships. So the Living Bible reads this way: hatred and fighting, jealousy and anger, constant effort to get the best only for yourself, complaints and criticism, the feeling that everyone else is wrong except those in your own little group. I really like that NIV better than the Living Bible, because that kind of gets where all of us live, right? Hatred and fighting, jealousy and anger, constant effort to get the best for yourself. Yeah, I still feel a little guilty going past the first two or three pieces of bread in the loaf to get that one. It's a little softer back there. I leave the old stuff for my family. You do it too, right? So it's like, no, reaching back in there. Complaints and criticism, feeling that everyone else is wrong except those in your own little group. You're called to freedom, to stand free, to live free, to never go back to a life or a lifestyle that gives opportunity for those kinds of things to run rampant in your life. It was for freedom that Christ set you free, not for factions and fighting. So are you free? And then the last thing Paul mentions are things like drunkenness and carousing, a party spirit, a lifestyle and a life that's just kind of out of control. And he says these things separate you from God, from fellowship with God, and you won't inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to heaven if you give yourself to this kind of life instead of giving yourself to God. Jesus gave himself for you so you could be free from this kind of life. Verse 13 again says, "For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So he says, don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Paul uses a word that in other places suggests a base of operations. Basically, he's saying, don't allow your freedom to serve as a base of operations from which the devil can launch attacks and can gain a stronghold in your mind and in your life. Don't give in to the desires of the flesh, or you'll find yourself becoming enslaved again, and we end up becoming a slave of whatever we serve. Don't go back to sin. Don't go back to selfishness, living only for yourself. Instead, he says, we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. Through love, we're to serve one another. Here's the whole law, he says. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And when we're free, we're going to want to love God and we're going to love one another. So even in standing firm in freedom, understand the Lord doesn't just say, well, okay, I set you free, now you're on your own. See if you can't pull this off. You can't do by your flesh and by your works what, you know, you can't maintain what Jesus has done by the Spirit. Here's the good news. He not only sets you free, then Jesus imparts to us the grace and the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit so we can stay free, so we can walk in freedom, so we can live in freedom. So Paul writes in Galatians 5, verse 16, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you'll not carry out the desire of the flesh." Walk by the Spirit. And Paul's referring to this idea, this what we know, that when we repented of our sins and placed our faith in Christ as Savior and Lord, Jesus came to live in us by His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit took up residence in our life, and He continues then to make us conformable to the image of Christ. He's shaping us and molding us. He's speaking to us. He's directing our steps and our path every day. We've been made new creations through the work of the Holy Spirit. He's producing in us the life and the character of Christ. The fruit of the Spirit is growing in us. We need to let that grow, man. Walk by the Spirit. And he says, and if we do that, we won't surrender to, or we won't re-engage in those desires of the flesh that we mentioned before. But notice, it isn't entirely automatic. We have a responsibility to freedom. And you're going to choose whether you'll walk by the Spirit or whether you're going to choose to give in to the desires of the flesh and fall back into bondage. And Paul tells us, he says, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. There's a battle going on, in other words. And a choice has to be made. Am I giving in to my flesh, or am I going to give in to what the Holy Spirit wants for me and desires of me? And so we have to make the choice. But understand, Jesus has set you free from sin's power to dominate and control your life. You don't have to listen to the voice of the enemy. You don't have to choose sin. You've been set free. So you have been strengthened and enabled to be able to make righteous choices. You say, I know, but it's so strong. I know, I understand. It's that old sinful default position. It's just easier to fall back to it, but you don't have to, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And you can say, look, that's not who I am. That's not how I live. That's not how I act. That's not how I talk. That's not how I behave. That's not the choice I'm going to make. I can choose today to follow Jesus and obey Him. Lord, give me the strength, and He will. He's a very present help. He's going to help you and deliver you. You just have to trust Him and call upon Him and rely on Him. He's provided victory for you. He's called you to live a life of freedom so you can choose to stand firm and not go back to slavery to sin. Stand firm in that freedom by His grace, because His grace is sufficient for you even in your weakness. Stand firm by the indwelling presence and help of the Holy Spirit. Choose to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Choose to reject the easy way of sin and choose Jesus and His way. Stand firm by exercising the spiritual disciplines of prayer and studying God's word, speaking God's word, living in obedience. All of this is part of our responsibility to live in freedom. I know we've got to wrap this up, but I remember I was praying one Sunday morning early. I'd come over and I was kneeling over here, and I had this, I guess I'd call it a vision probably, but I saw the enemy coming at me. It was like a demonic kind of spirit coming at me, and I just seemed helpless. I'm thinking, Lord, deliver me, do something, you know, I mean, help me somehow. This thing's coming at me. And I heard the Lord say to declare his word, to call upon the Lord and declare his word. And so whatever it was, I began to speak. And suddenly when I did, I saw this glorious angel with a sword suddenly appear and defeat this thing. Listen, I'm just telling you, there are weapons of spiritual warfare that are given to us for us to pray, to call upon him, to declare his word, to live and walk in that word. And he will give us the victory. If you just stand there and don't respond, if you don't draw your sword, if you don't put on the armor of God, you may get in trouble. But there are weapons of warfare, not carnal, but powerful, to pull down strongholds if we will choose to walk in the Spirit. So let me ask you this morning, are you living in freedom? Or are there areas in your life where you're not free? Areas where you can look and see that you've started surrendering to old patterns, to old lifestyle, to old choices, to sinful choices, to an old way of thinking and behaving. What about your thought life? Are you free, or are you in bondage to impure thoughts, or bound to pornography, or you're bound to some kind of addictive behavior, to bound to alcohol or drugs or gambling, or I don't know, whatever the list, whatever. Are you in bondage in relationships? Are you living in a sinful relationship? Are you engaged in something you know is not pleasing to God? Is there sexual sin and immorality in your life? Or are relationships being destroyed because you're giving in to envy or jealousy or anger or rage? Are you refusing to forgive someone for something in the past? Are you living to get even and to wreak vengeance on somebody? Are you driven to behavior that you know is not pleasing to God? If you answer yes to any of that, that's bondage. And it was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and don't be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Remember John Adams' statement at the beginning? Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory. The end is worth the sacrifice. I can see the end is more than worth all the means. I'm just telling you, the end is worth the sacrifice, the discipline, the effort to walk with the Lord, to walk by the Spirit and not in the flesh, to keep fighting that good fight, refusing to go back to bondage, to slavery, to sin, standing firm in the faith and in freedom. It's more than worth it all. Do you want to be free this morning? And if you do, there is freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set us free, and we can stand firm in that. Let's stand together this morning. I want us to pray together. Maybe there's an area in your life that it's not about whether you're saved or not saved, but you just know there's an area in your life where you're not feeling free this morning. There's something you just need deliverance. You need Jesus to just come and give you strength today and encourage you. If that's the case, I'm going to pray in just a minute. But if that's the case, I'd invite you just to slip out and come and stand here at the front with me. We're going to pray together. We're going to speak words of victory and hope, and we're going to believe God to deliver and set you free today. If there's something that's binding you up, Jesus said we have the power to bind and to loose, all right? And so we just believe that we can pray together this morning. So if you need prayer, I invite you to come. But let me just pray for all of us today. And in your own heart, you say, well, I don't know that I need somebody to lay hands on me, but I know there's some areas where there's been compromise, or where I see myself moving back towards something that I know puts me back into bondage. I know that puts me back into a slave kind of thinking or a slave kind of mentality. I don't want that. I want to walk in that freedom. Would you just take a moment this morning to pledge yourself, to just say it, Lord, I want to be free. And I know whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and I claim that freedom in my heart and in my life today. If you want prayer, well, come on down. But Lord, in the name of Jesus, we pray for freedom today. We need to be free, Lord, in our thoughts. We need to be free in our hearts. We need to be free in our behavior. We need to be free, Lord, set free from sin, set free from bondage, set free, Lord, from stuff that we know is just not pleasing to you. Maybe it's obsessive kind of thought. thoughts or behavior, Lord. Maybe it's anger and rage. Maybe, Lord, it's sinful thoughts. Whatever it is, Lord, we need freedom today in our heart and in our life. And we're turning to you today, Lord. We're asking you to set us free. Lord Jesus, come and liberate us today. Lord, we stand firm in that freedom. We choose, Lord, to stand in that freedom. We believe you today, Lord, that you will set us free, that you'll liberate us today, Lord, that we are no longer under bondage. Would you just declare that in your own life? Just say it out loud. I'm no longer living under bondage. I'm free. The Son has set me free. We claim that freedom today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we believe you today to loose us and to set us free. Lord, would you give us victory over everything in our heart and life, in our mind, our thinking, our behavior. In every way, Lord, we choose freedom, Lord. We'll not...
For joy, from the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was born with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before him,
it's ours today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, may we just stand in your freedom today. We rejoice in it today, Lord. We rejoice in it today. We just need to be aware, Lord, as American citizens, we take for granted the freedoms that we enjoy. And suddenly when they're threatened, we kind of pay attention a little more. Lord, as citizens of the King of Heaven, we take for granted some of the freedoms we have, Lord. But then we do some stuff that we see ourselves being drawn back into bondage. Lord, may we stop and recognize and give thanks for the freedom for which Christ has set us free. May we understand you acquired us. You laid hold of us and set us free. And there's a reason and a purpose for it. And may we live out that purpose, Lord. May we determine in our heart that we're going to run for you and run with you. And we're going to serve you, Lord. We're going to be all that you've called us to be, because you've set us free to do just that, Lord. There's a greater purpose than what we know. There's a greater purpose than what we've seen, Lord. For so many of us, there's more, Lord. There's more that you've ordained for us. Hear me this morning. This is the Holy Spirit speaking this morning. This is a word to somebody. There is more than what you thought. There's more than what you've settled for. God's grace is sufficient for you. Stop being blinded by the enemy. Stop living under that blanket of condemnation, for the Son has set you free, and there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. His grace has saved you, not your works or effort, but his grace has saved you. But stand firm in that and then live it out. Live it out. Live in victory. Live in freedom. Live by faith. Live and walk in his steps. Somebody this morning said, but I don't know the next step to take. Stop and look, because he's gone before you. Follow in his footsteps. Put your foot where his foot was. He's gone before you to prepare the way. He's giving you hope today. He's giving you a future. And so trust him today and walk in obedience to his word and to his will. He set you free for a good purpose. Now go ahead and follow and walk with him in that purpose. Lord, let it be today. Lord, we declare it today in the name of Jesus, that we can live in that freedom and know the victory that's ours. The end is worth the sacrifice, the discipline, the effort, because we can see ahead and we know how glorious it's going to be when we're in your presence. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Somebody take hold of that this morning. That's the Spirit of the Lord speaking to our hearts. There's more for us today. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Well, receive the blessing of the Lord this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. Have a safe day tomorrow. Make sure you come back with all your fingers and toes and stuff next Sunday. Remember, no service Wednesday night, but we'll see you next Sunday morning. Thanks for joining us here and online. Amen.